Hey, my name's Connor. Thank you guys for stewarding time here. I am excited to share what all God is doing. But first, anytime there's a major event in our city, I want to make sure we all are aware of what's going on and you have properly the right opportunity to respond to it. So something happened in Frisco yesterday that I think you need to know about, and it was my birthday. So if you missed that, I just wanted to make sure that you knew that so you could respond in all the ways you should today. As I reflected on just, you know, the way God uses, or the way a lot of us use those moments that are dated on your calendar that maybe show up every year, whether it's anniversary or birthday, that drives you towards either reflection or thinking forward a little bit. And just as I looked back over the year in my life, I mean, I wanted to start this way. If you're a guest or a friend, as I thought back to a decade ago, if you would have shown up at my birthday celebration, you would have seen a guy that cared more about the party than people. And you would have seen somebody who was causing chaos in relationships, not blessing, who chased anything in the moment that would bring pleasure, whether it was girls or substances or alcohol. That's who I was, and that's who I am apart from Christ. And so I am here just to declare once again the kindness and goodness of God. And I say that not just because all that's going on corporately and the things we've been talking about, but because of what Christ has done for me in my life. That I got to spend yesterday celebrating with friends and family and kiddos. I mean, if you would have told me 10 years ago that in 10 years you'd have 3 kids and a marriage that's, you know, going on 6 years with family and friends and no drugs and alcohol and just fun in the middle of the day versus late into the night, I would have said, no way. But that's who God is, and that's what he's done in my life. So I'm excited just to tell you more about who that God is and what he's doing. But the verse that has just kind of been a staple for me in this season and in life, and certainly when I go into these kind of moments where I'm looking at what God and his kindness is doing through me, is Psalm 119, 99, and 100. I've used it a couple times this month, but here it is again. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the age because I have kept your precepts. I don't think there's anything special about me or the fact that God is using somebody in their youth. You see that a lot in your Bible. But I love that I get to be a guy like a lot of you who's just surrendered to Christ, that God chooses to use out of his kindness for no reason I have in and of myself. And part of what I know he wants to do is if it's not too early for me, it's not too late for you. So man, I don't know where some of you are coming in to your journey or walk with God or faith or Christ, but I would just tell you it's never too late. And I would tell you, for those who know him, man, when you live a life surrendered to him, it's amazing what he can do in a short amount of time of a decade. And so with that, I wanted to give you a testimony of God for you to meditate on some more. There was a lot of your Bible. There was a lot of amazing things documented that God has done. And we believe that God is alive. I mean, we believe Jesus is out of the grave and moving and living and active, and that his spirit is continuing the work that we read about in our Bible. And he is continuing to work in a fun way with us right now. What you've heard a few times, maybe in the announcements, or as you've kind of caught on, we are in a unique season as a campus of Watermark, praying through if it's our time to step out into and launch into becoming our own independent local church, which today is the day I'm answering that question. As we've spent the day, the whole month of May, seeking God's will and praying if this is what he wants us to do. As a reminder, maybe something new for you, that's our idea at Watermark is campuses are a great church planning strategy. It's not a retention plan and increase your audience and get more money coming through. It is a chance to grow leadership, infused with training and equipping, and the moment a campus is ready, it is better to be an independent local church because of the ways it reallocates just time, most importantly, locally, and a few other things that we covered about a month ago. And we asked this question to our body, and a lot of you, hopefully this sounds familiar, we sent out a survey as we've been praying about, is it the right time to step into becoming an independent local church? And there's this fun, unique twist to our story, if you've been around, with another church in town who's in a unique position to go with us and us together, Centennial Church, Watermark Frisco Campus, step out together and become an independent local church. We asked the body, you guys, because we want to be leaders that listen. We don't want to have to vote. We don't need to vote. We want to move through relationships and only do that which God makes clear through his word and through prayer he wants us to do. And as we've listened and spent a lot of time in person having a lot of conversations, we felt like in wisdom, we should throw out one last safety net, which is that survey a lot of you got. That was two questions. Do you believe God would have us become an independent local church? Yes or no? There's only two options. That second question was, why? And that's all we put out there, and you couldn't turn in the survey until you filled out both answers. And here is what's really encouraging. God made evident in abundant ways to the body of Christ what we stepped in a month ago to say he had made evident to the leadership. And that is, it is time. This is clearly when God wants us to step into operating, not just as an independent church, which is the language we use, but out of a desire to further our dependence on Christ and serve more locally the city he has us in. It is time to launch. This is not a split. This is not a spinoff. This is a multiplication effort to make more disciples of Jesus Christ and be further faithful ones ourselves. It's time to become an independent local church. So the answer is yes, and that is where we are moving. That is happening. It's where we landed. And I wanted to just roll through to share with you what the body, you collectively, responded, both in person and then specifically in that survey, so you could be encouraged. There's really three categories. I think each one of these responses, as the body answered yes, we see what God is doing and we affirm it. And the three major themes that keep showing up, and I'll read these answers and you'll see them pop up, are this is an answered prayer. This helps us make a further kingdom impact. And the third one is we trust our leadership. You're gonna see those three themes show up in a lot of these answers. Answered prayer, kingdom impact, and trust in leadership. And so here is how we have landed. To say, hey, God has made it evident. I mean, beyond, the only way God can make it more evident for us at this point is if he would have preserved somewhere in scripture, hey, Watermark Frisco, at this date, you should launch into independence. But he didn't do that, but he has given us everything we need to make sure we're in God's will. And we think it has stood the test of scripture, and it is time. And so I pray, just like a birthday yesterday, that date where you celebrate on an annual basis, June 6th, is gonna be one of those dates for us as a family that we just go, hey, that was the day when it became clear and became in concrete, we are moving into a new season. Here was one answer as why somebody put, yes, I do believe this is what God would have for our church. They said, I believe that this opportunity meets both churches' bodies where they need to be met. We, Watermark Frisco, have been praying for a facility that would meet God's plans for us while allowing us to stay disciplined in the process, no debt. And on Centennial side of things, it is clear to me that they have been faithful in prayer, that they could stay a united body during trying circumstances. They have worked so hard to find a way for God to keep what they have going. In short, I think this is a win-win that has God's fingerprints all over it. This is not to say, this is why I liked this one and grabbed it. This is not to say that it will be easy, but I believe strongly that this is the right move. Another response, we've been praying for 3 years that we could be a light in the community. It looks like he, God, is doing this in a way that is greater than we could have imagined. Another answer, this answer to prayer, another answer, to be able to reach the local community. Again, this is a great opportunity for both bodies to join together and advance the kingdom. This one I love, this language showed up a bunch. Yes, I believe it's God's will that we move into independence, that we join with another church, that we start something new. He says, I believe this, that God is always in for advancing his word and his kingdom. I believe that there is nothing biblical that would prohibit us from moving forward as a new independent body with Centennial. And we would say amen, and we did everything we could to find a reason why we shouldn't, according to God's word, and we kept striking out. We made it clear. It was clear to me after listening to Q&A through personal prayer, connecting with my wife and our community group and looking at scripture, this opportunity is being brought to Watermark Frisco by God. It's being brought by God, and he would be pleased if we moved forward with it. I mean, that last sentence is the answer to the leadership's prayer during the last really 30, really 120 days as we've progressed towards May and then took the season of May. Our prayer was, Lord, you have made this clear to us. We wouldn't present this to the body unless we believed you were moving us here. And meanwhile, it would be a gift if you would affirm in others what you have affirmed in us. I mean, if this is your will, make it clear to your bride and your people that this is you moving. This is not in man's wisdom. This is not circumstances we could have created. This is not based on any individual or a group of individuals. This is out of the faithfulness of God, his kindness in a faithful body of Christ that God is moving. And God made it evident to you in the same ways he had already made it evident to us. I believe that the glory of God would be amplified by forming a new local independent church with members of Centennial. Not only would it solve logistical hurdles of having a permanent building to gather with room to expand as needed without debt, but I believe the location also affords an opportunity to expand our reach to the communities around us. It's what we're here for. It's why we started a campus. It's why we prayed for months that God would even allow us to step foot in Frisco 3 years ago. Another response, it seems that God has provided an incredible opportunity for us to show unity as a church in the community. And this one, and if you missed 2 weeks ago, I'd say go back and watch, because unity, I'm going to say it again, and you're going to hear me say it a lot over the summer. Unity is the most evangelistic thing we do. To go back to John 13, Jesus says, people will know you're my disciples by the way that you love one another. He puts color on that sentence, really, in all of John 17, in his prayer, which we taught on a few weeks ago, saying your oneness is what makes a case for the oneness we can have with God. And when people see broken people and sinners just like them operate in unity and love, the way you put down your selfish ambitions, the way you seek to serve and not be served, that provides for me a paradigm to think through when I hear you say, crazy thing, Christian, that a perfect God wants a relationship with me, an imperfect person. But if you two imperfect people could be one in the midst of your differences, maybe there's a way God would be one with me. Insert the gospel. Okay, unity is so important. It's either what attracts people to the gospel. Meaning, when they see that, when they see difference of skin color and socioeconomical statuses and different opinions on masks, that can get in a room and love one another and serve one another and lay down preferences and move in unity. In the midst of a context of a world that cannot figure any of this out, it is attractive. It at least begs the question, what's different about them? It's the most attractive thing, or it's the most unattractive thing. If I'm out living my life and loving on friends and neighbors and family, and I grab them and say, come with me, just come bump into people who know this resurrected king that I'm preaching to you about. And just see. And if they were to step in this room and they saw bickering and arguing and shoving things under the rug and cliques and only hang out with those who like the things you like, and it looked exactly what they see in locker rooms and office buildings and family Thanksgivings, they go, there's nothing different about you. Your lack of oneness, your lack of unity is disinteresting and disengaging and unattractive to a watching world. So I can't emphasize enough why unity and love and oneness is a big deal. And in a unique way as a campus, as we're moving into independence like the campuses before us have, God is adding in this flavor of unity with another body that I think is going to be the thing that people look at and go, okay, how do two groups of people who have not run together with different interests and different stories and different parts of a city come together and lay those things down for a greater impact and for a greater reason? There's something different. And I'm telling you, the world is primed right now to hear stories of unity and not division. And not canceling one another, but moving towards one another in kindness. What an opportunity. Multiple times, I mean, it is important to say that myself and Jeff and Hunter, the three guys who are going to step into the role of elders, would look you into the eyes and say, follow us as we follow Christ. That does not mean perfectly. That does not mean we have every theological nuance figured out, but it does mean we seek God with our whole heart. There's not a piece of our life you can't know about. There's nothing that would disqualify us from the faith. And it's kind of like when you go to talk about your Bible and you're telling people, hey, this says that it is truth. I mean, it's absolute truth. The Bible claims that it is the one source of truth. And if you don't care anything about the Bible or scripture and you're into apologetics and defending different things, you would say that's circular reasoning and that carries no weight in terms of making a defense for if it is really true or not. But if anything is absolutely true, it has to at least claim that it is. So it's not the defense of scripture, but scripture in and of itself says, hey, this is God's word. There's not an error in it and it's true. And now you got to do the hard work of figuring out if that's right. In the same way, we as your leadership, no matter what leadership you follow, ought to say, hey, we are fully convinced that we are walking with Jesus. And rightly do you follow us. And it's an awkward thing to say. And it's your job to figure out if that's true or not. But multiple people, I mean, it was so encouraging and humbling to read. We trust our leadership. I have trust in leadership and how they've processed and discussed with the members. Any initial questions and concerns have been addressed, and it is an exciting opportunity to see God move and use our two churches together moving forward. I trust the leadership of our church and the hours of processing and prayer and counsel that they've presented through the process. I have another individual. I've wrestled with this whole decision for a while, and God has given me a peace and has, through the leadership at Watermark, provided answers to many questions I had. Thank you all for being humble and submissive leaders that we need and for loving the body well by giving us enough time to wrestle with change. If you've been to any of the Q&As or you've heard me in the past month talk, you know my answer is 2 Corinthians 3. We would tell you, hey, there is nothing sufficient in ourselves to lead or to make a case that we're worth following. But here's what we got. We got Christ crucified and we are ministers of the gospel of grace, and that's what we have to ride on. And so let's go. The summary essentially to all that is this is not a test of leadership and do you trust me and the elders? It is, hey, do you believe Christ is the head of this church? That's the question you've got to answer. Do you believe that God has his hand on this and he's moving us? And we have now said yes, loudly, collectively, as one. And we are moving forward. And I don't want to move on without telling you, hey, there were some people who said no. I can count on one hand of our 400 members, individuals who said no, saying, hey, we don't think God is telling us to do this. And here were some of the reasons, because I think it's right for you to hear. And we took these things into account before we made this final decision. And here was one, and it's honestly really encouraging. One individual said, no, I don't think God is moving us to do this, said, I feel like there's been some pretty big changes at Watermark recently, and it would be prudent to limit structural changes. It looks like, with the timing that moving away from Watermark communicates a distrust in the church, and I worry that this separation could harm the mission of Watermark Dallas unintentionally. And I would say, what a gift. That the concern is for the church to be above reproach. We don't want to put any hindrance to the gospel, 2 Corinthians 6:3 says. And we would just say, and that could be true. That could produce for some people an opportunity to negatively interpret a situation, and folks who don't want to listen to the story or read the information to make an assumption that two things are related when we've said they're not. And our job is not to control optics. Our job is to be faithful, to give reason and logic and answer questions, and then keep going with where God is leading us. Okay, so we understand for some, it could create a narrative if you want to find one. And all we're saying is, this is the game plan Watermark's had for years. This is what our campuses have done. This is why the timing's right. Here's how the story unfolded. Here's the scripture that proves it to us. And we hope you can trust that. And we're not mad if you can't. But we've got to go. And we've got to keep being faithful. Another one that just said, hey, this is a very difficult decision. If we're only looking at financial reasons, it could seem like a no-brainer and like it would be foolish to throw down a building and the amount of land in Frisco. But when Watermark was originally considering a Frisco campus, the goal was to have something much more northwest from where Centennial's facility is. This could potentially be where God wants this church, or it could be a situation where he wants us to trust him with the location and wait, even though it seems like a pretty obvious and logical choice. And I would say that that's encouraging. Hey, did we hear from the Lord early on that we were going to be in a different location, and are we questioning and backing out on where God was leading us? And we would just say, hey, it was always our desire to be somewhere more north. Meaning when we came up to Frisco, we played the game, we got out the map and said, okay, if God gives us anywhere in the city, where would we go? Let's have fun with it. And it was certainly more north than where Centennial was. Meanwhile, I don't know if you've ever tried to tell God the way your plans are gonna go, but it, at least in my life, often does not work that way. And we just said, hey, if God is gonna answer years of prayer with everything he's answering it with right now, anywhere in the zip code of Frisco, we believe that's a sign we should move. And so we just said, hey, we don't believe in a theology that tells God this is what we're gonna do and this is what we want you to do. And if you don't do it, you're not moving with us. We go, hey, Lord, we're gonna ask and we're gonna seek and we're gonna be faithful for the doors you present and give to us. But I understand the question. Meanwhile, we have just continued to go back to, hey, this is not a decision to make life easier. This is a decision to expand the kingdom. Scripture talks about the church and it just says, hey, the laborers are few, but the harvest is plentiful. And there is a reality to having a permanent facility and land that is unashamedly a part of the conversation. It's not the driving force and it's not the only reason. If there was any church in town that wanted to jump in and come underneath our leadership and vision and values and doctrine and wanted to join membership, we would do that. It just so happens that God is providing other opportunities with this one that allows us to keep doing what we're doing. If we're to harvest a field, it's like taking, if I'm trying to make a ditch that runs all the way through, it's like replacing one single hoe with a tractor. That's the difference of being mobile versus having a permanent facility. You can just get a lot more done with a tractor than one guy with one hoe hitting the ground. And so should we compromise our values and our vision and our mission and our doctrine to jump on the tractor? No. But if nothing's compromised, let's get on the tractor and make hay while we have time. And that's kind of how we look at it. And then to just remind you and to say again, our goal is not independent communicates what we want to communicate, but ultimately this is our desire, to deepen our dependence on Christ. This whole journey that is now before us certainly provides that opportunity. And I know for a lot of us in the room, leaving Watermark is a big deal, okay? And the longer you've been around, the bigger deal that is. Some of you, your life was changed here. This was the local expression and the way the Spirit of God worked through his people to change your life. It happened at this local gathering called Watermark. And theologically, you know it's the Spirit working, it's God moving. It's not because I had the name Watermark, but this was the group of people that, like me, grew you up in the faith and trained you and taught you. And I would just tell you, as a member of this community, I'm sacrificing more than you, okay? Much more than most of you. And what I mean by that, I don't mean that in any derogatory way. I just mean, look, my wife, and some of you don't know my story, but my wife grew up at Watermark. She was in the first class of kids that actually went through kindergarten and graduated through 12th grade, okay? First group of kids that did that. We got married at Watermark Dallas. And I'm not kidding you when I say half my wardrobe has the W on it, okay? This is an expensive personal decision. This is not a joke. I've got to go buy new clothes because everything has the W on it. And but I would just tell you, all kidding aside, the sacrifice in those ways, I mean, I get it. For you, those of you that leaving Watermark is hard. And I'll say it's just like when your little girl gets married, as I've talked to guys who have married off daughters, and you change your last name, but they're still your family. And you always have your maiden name, okay? For a lot of us, our maiden name will always be Watermark. But it is a new thing God is doing, and it's right, and it's good. But my maiden name's Watermark, and I'm proud of it, and I always will be. But this is the verse that makes you keep moving. Acts 20:24 is the verse we prayed a lot moving to Frisco, knowing what joining campus meant for us as a family and for you long term. But I do not account my life of any value, nor as precious to myself, if only I may finish my course in the ministry that I have received from the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And that's it. We're going, hey, this is not about us. It's not about comfort. It's not about what's easier. It's not about maybe what we want. This is about, Lord, what is the ministry you're giving me and us? And we are now saying, he has made it clear his ministry is to reallocate all of our time locally. And we think he's going to grow us up in leadership and maturity in a lot of different ways. And we think this is our best chance to share the gospel more fully with people we're around, because we're going to be around them a little more, just in all the logistics that happen and being part of Watermark. So there's a lot of unknown. There's a lot of things coming. Our goal is not to move quickly. Our goal is to move faithfully. We want to do it right. Do it once. You know, if you grew up, my dad always told me, hey, you can do something right or you can do it twice. And our goal is to do this thing faithfully. We want to set up the church for years of vitality. We don't just want to get lost in this moment of victory that we're in this fun season to push us to move faster than we should. So with that, here's kind of the plan for the summer for you and for us. One, next week, the 13th, is going to be still just Watermark Frisco in the room. Centennial is still going to meet just Centennial at their location. And we're going to have a service that's our last official Watermark Frisco only service. And kind of honor and do some fun things to celebrate the way God's used Watermark and how that's a part of our story. And then the 20th, so 2 weeks from now, will be the first time that for the rest, as the Lord allows us to breathe here in Frisco, we'll be with Centennial folks and we'll just be this new work together. And so that will happen the 20th, and the goal is all the way through the summer is like one long membership class. And if you're all the way in and plugged in and a member here, we're not saying you're switching community groups and a ton of things are changing there, but we are saying we are gonna lay out our mission and our vision and our values and our doctrine. And if we change something, you should leave. But we are gonna spend this summer to make sure this is who we are, this is what we're about, this is the direction we're going, this is what it means to be the church, this is what it's gonna look like. Are we still in? And that's what the summer is. And the week after Labor Day weekend in September, about 2 weeks into September, is when we are going to launch this official new church to the world. So in the meantime, we've got some work to do. One of the things we have to do is pick a name. And this is where we need your help, okay? So for now, we're just this new work of God that needs a name. Hopefully in the coming weeks, we will have a name. But we didn't want to put the cart before the horse. We genuinely have not moved down this yet. And this is where it gets fun. This is why it's fun to be a part of this in the season that you're in. And so we are going to ask that members here, let us know what you think. What would you name this new work if you could name it? And so you can go to watermark.org/FriscoFuture. And there's a link on there where you can submit names of what you think this new church ought to be named. And I will just go ahead and give you some hints. First, we know it is Centennial and Watermark. We are not going to be Cinemark. So just save it. I don't want to see it. And the answer is no, okay? If you've been around Watermark for a while, we are not going to be Lone Star Church. And that means something to some of you. But seriously, if you submit something, please only submit up to two names. Do your best to only submit two names. I don't need 50 entries from one person. But send that to us, and we're going to look through that as staff and as elders and look through all those things and see where God moves us. And if your name is picked, there'll be some fun swag coming your way. So meanwhile, Proverbs 24:27 is true. This is what the summer is. This is the next season. God has not given us the next five steps. He's not given us the five-year plan. He's given us what we do next. And it is cement our hearts together this summer. Remind us of who we are. Remind us of the mission. And come September, it's outward focus and we're full launch. Proverbs 24:27, prepare your work outside. Get everything ready for yourself in the field. And after that, build your house. We will start building publicly to the rest of the world in September. Starting in 2 weeks, we are getting the field ready. We are doing the work of relationships. You can't fast forward that. You can't fake that. You can't rush that. So the summer is, hey, jump in the car with mom and dad. You're a kid, and we're going to end up in Florida on the beach. You don't know all the ways we're going to get there. We're not all sure the ways we're going to get there. We're going to create memories along the way. But come this date, at this time, we're going to be sitting on the beach in Florida. Come September, the week after Labor Day weekend, we will be launching to the world. Now, God could change any of that. That's if God wills. He could bring something up we're not sure of yet, and anything can change. But that's the direction we're going. So your job, keep doing what you're doing and show up and just be faithful 1 week at a time. Hey, one little last thing is there is one more ask outside of helping us come up with a name, which another hint on that, if it sounds like a country club or a funeral home, it's also not gonna make the cut. Some of what I've already heard some people saying, I'm like, hey, that ain't gonna work. But if you're in community right now, we put people into community based on life stage and geography. We think those two things best help us accomplish the values we think God's word says for the church and how you relate to one another. With that, if you don't have 40 or 50 people coming at once to come through membership, it can get harder to put people in community based on those two things. So we're asking every community group in the next 2 weeks to prayerfully process, hey, should we add to our group? Both because we already have this challenge as a campus and now a church, and because we're about to add 50 to 60 members quickly over the summer, coming from Centennial. So it's gonna be a lot easier to do that if there's folks who are ready to just add. So will you do the hard work of having that conversation with community? Community shepherds will be following up with you in the next couple of weeks. The second thing is, as things have changed over the last few years and different communities have spread out a little more, it may be the right time for the purpose of multiplication and discipleship to split a group and go off in twos or in pairs and add to that, just based on geography and going, hey, we can go make a greater impact. You guys know, members here, how to live in community and the hard work of relationships and how to resolve conflict. You're our best at teaching people that. And one of the greatest things you may do for our church is still be friends and still be church and community, but move out and go out in twos for the purpose of multiplication and discipleship. So as communities, have those conversations, see if that's you, and get back to us. One last thing, and then we are gonna sing a little bit in response, and then we'll close up with a little more teaching. But there was this story that God brought to my mind this week. When I was 2.5 years ago, me and one of the elders and my friend Rick were actually standing in Legacy Christian's parking lot, looking across Legacy Street at an empty field, which is now, I think, a retirement home. And that field was empty. And I remember standing there and praying and just going, Lord, would you give us that field? We don't think you owe it to us. We don't think you have to, but it seems right that if we had somewhere that we could just call home and not have the distractions of being mobile and always moving around, it would seem like that would be our best opportunity to be about what you want us to be about. So if that's your will, and if this is your will, would you give us that land? But we trust you either way. And I kind of wonder now, I'm like, what, you know, now seeing in retrospect what God was doing here. What he was doing as we were praying that. I mean, we were in the best we knew how looking forward to the land, and God was saying, hey, that land, I'm about to give you more acres than that land. And I'm about to give you a facility that's already built. And more than any of that, I'm about to add to you 60 people who love me and have been running hard after me and are ready to go get it for the city and to be about the mission. This field you're praying for is not near enough for what I have for you. Meanwhile, the parking lot you're on, out of the provision and kindness of me through my people, I'm gonna open up this facility behind you in ways you don't even know yet, in ways they're not even opening up for the church, as part of the provision I'm gonna provide for you as you're moving on to the land I have coming. And there I was, praying the best I knew how for a land that was nowhere near what God wanted to do. And so I don't know what else to do but to sing in praise and thank him for where we're at in the journey. So let me read this psalm as we move into just worship and response. Psalm 100, make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name, for the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. Let me ask you, has God not been faithful to this generation? And so let's pause what we're doing and let us worship and sing to our King. Interrupt what we're doing to just sing again. Because Lord, you are worthy of our praise. You call us to have scripture rich on our tongue, the words of Christ filling our hearts, overflowing and spewing into gratitude and thanksgiving. Not just when it's planned, but when it's deserved, which is all the time. Lord, would you help us to appropriately wrap our minds around what you are choosing to do? And the privilege and the responsibility that is now ours. And we know we don't sing to you because you're opening up land and a facility and things are growing. Lord, we worship you because you have set our eternities. You have redeemed us. You have brought us to life. You have us in your hand and nothing can snatch us out of it. So we can take every circumstance with peace and joy and no fear and no anxiety because we trust in your work, in your hand. So Lord, help us now just in these last couple moments together today, respond in song and lyric, but lives of worship, which you say are lives of sacrifice. So teach us what it is you want us to do with what you have for us. In your name we pray, amen. So sit down, we're not done. Hey, just a few more minutes. There is one teaching that I would send you away with, and I'm only gonna give you enough to start chewing on what I pray takes you through really the rest of the week and probably most of this next season. One of the responses that came through was this: I trust the leadership and their guidance on the matter, but everyone has been very open on what this will look like, and I'm just trying to be a faithful steward of my time and resources on the matter. And so let me help you think about that as now this being what God is doing with you and what God would require of you. I'm not talking pastor, elder, church staff. I'm talking church. You who are members here and plugged in. Anytime God increases opportunity, he is going to increase something else with it. And we're gonna talk about what that is. And I'm gonna use a little spot in scripture. In Luke 19, this is the spot where Jesus, it says in the scriptures, is headed towards Jerusalem, which just means his time has come. He knows he's headed to the cross. 2 weeks ago, we looked at what the prayer of Christ was for his church. Right now, we're gonna look at what Luke in Luke 19 records for us, that Jesus left his disciples so that way when he was gone, they would have something to fall back on. This was a teaching Jesus instilled for his church that he knew would be in a season where he wasn't physically present, but he was still leading his people. And it is applicable for anybody living in the time where Jesus has ascended from the grave and into heaven, but has yet to return to earth, which you are in the middle of. So it's a story in Luke 19. I'm not have the time to read it all. So the parable goes, there was an owner of multiple things who had servants and workers, if you will, employees. And he gives each one of these guys a minas. And that is 3 months worth of wages. So think about if I handed you $40,000, which is, if you take what the average income of Frisco is divided by 12 and then multiply that by three, it's around 40K. So imagine I said, hey, here's $40,000. I've got something for you to do with it. I'm going to go and I'm going to come back. And when I come back, I expect something from you. That's what Jesus is teaching in this parable. And he's going to use three different servants who each get the same amount. And in the parable, one is faithful and is given one and ends up with 10. And when the master returns, he's pleased. Another servant was faithful and he was given one and he ends up with 5 when the master returns and he's pleased. One, the last servant was given one minas, and when the master returned, had not increased at all what God had given him. And he said, hey, I haven't messed this up either. And that servant just says, hey, I put it in my handkerchief and I hid it and I have that which for you, you gave me. And that wasn't enough. That was not what the master intended. The master gave him resources to be stewarded for the master's purpose, not to be kept and not out of a fear of messing things up. And so before the master leaves, I'll read one little piece of this story in Luke 19. This is what he says to those three different servants who all receive the same thing. He says, calling 10 of his servants, he gave them 10 minas. And he said to them, engage in business until I come. Business is hard. Rewards aren't guaranteed. It's probably going to be a little messy. But I am saying, this is the purpose I have for you. This is why you're receiving this. And so the reason I'm going to this little part in scripture is because if we were getting persecuted right now and thrown in jail and getting beaten and getting just mocked and pushed out of society in severe ways, like you're leaving your family in prison or you're dead, I would have a lot more of my Bible to pull from to teach you. When you find yourself in the moment of prospering and God giving you things, it's a little more rare in your Bible to find those kind of stories. And that's really what this parable is teaching. And so here's what I would tell you. God has given you something and with this opportunity. And a lot of times people approach things and even just think about God like this, like I'm waiting to watch God do something so I can react to what he's doing. And what this parable teaches is, no, God has given you something and he's looking at you to do something with it. How God moves and works is through his spirit in people. And so you're not on the sidelines right now watching God do something. God is saying, hey, I've given you minas. I've given you opportunity. I'm expecting you, collectively us and the individual you, to do something with it. And everybody gets called into account. So here's just the three quick takeaways as you go spend more time, please, in Luke 19 this week. And there's three things. One, we see with an increased opportunity comes increased responsibility. It is amazing that God provided Frisco High School for years. It's amazing that God is providing Legacy Christian for the summer. It is amazing that God is providing land and a facility. It's amazing that God is just adding a wave of people to you. And it ought to scare you. You ought to feel the weight of, okay, God is calling me, you the individual, to do something. It's not for your purposes. It's not to make your life easier. We follow the servant king. He calls his followers to be servants. This is not to let you sleep in a little more on Sunday mornings because you've got a permanent location. This is for you to reallocate that time and even further to multiply out the king's purpose. Anytime he hands you something, it is to be leveraged for him. It is not to create more ease and more comfort. So this is what I am certain of. He wants this church to live in a more sacrificial way because he is giving us more. The second thing to be warned of in this parable is association with good stewards won't dismiss accountability for your poor stewardship. And so just be careful. I am certain that God is doing this because of you, the church, and the way that you serve and you love and you lead. And I am certain that some of us are just around this and not in this and not plugged in and not using your gifts and not serving and not giving everything that God has given you to steward as best you can to maximize kingdom impact and gospel living and the flourishing of others and not yourself. But you're around some amazing things. And so that it just serves as a warning. Your job is not to just be here and keep yourself from messing this thing up. Your job is to get involved, roll your sleeves up, and be a part of this with us. Okay? Don't mistake being here as part of being in the game and being faithful. And the last thing is this. The reward for faithful service, you've been around, you've heard this before, is the opportunity for further faithful service. That is what you have been given. And I think there's been a lot of faithful service in this body. I mean, I've watched it. And I think God is going, here's another opportunity. Use it. And you've used it. And he's given you another opportunity and you've used it. And he's just giving us more opportunity for more faithful service. And this parable teaches us that everybody is to play a part. Every servant of the king gets something. This collective new moving into land and a facility that may take some time to move into. Stay tuned for the summer as we get information back about construction and all that fun stuff. It's all coming. But with that, every person plays a part. You have stewardship put before you. And we are going to call into account today what we individuals as members and collectively do with it. Because we know we're gonna be called into account before the king one day. And here's what I'd say, we all have something to play. One of the things is we just moved into this message. I asked our staff, hey, who are some people that are serving in ways that may seem unnoticed or kind of small and maybe insignificant at our church? Because I wanna show you and show people why nothing is small and insignificant. And so here were some of the names I got back of people who I think are stewarding well what God has given us and maybe the reason God's given us more. These would be the people I'd say model their faith. And I've only picked a few and there's more I could do. But just a few folks that I am humbled to call friends. Larry, Jay, and Tommy. If you don't know those three names, those are the three men who for years have driven trailers and brought them to the high school so we could set up and tear down. These guys have to have the trailer at the high school by 5:45 a.m. These are guys that most of you don't know and haven't seen because we were all asleep while they were working. They set their alarms on their weekend to wake up earlier than they probably do in the weekdays to go to work to serve the church so that way they could have trailers in place so that another group of people could unload those trailers and set up an entire high school in a way that would facilitate discipleship. Let me just tell you, if one of those guys doesn't move a trailer, that may seem small and insignificant, but if one of those guys doesn't do that, everything you see behind me wouldn't be here. When you dropped off your kids and there was signs, those wouldn't be there. When you pulled in the parking lot and you saw, you know, those signs outside, those wouldn't be here. But those guys have stewarded that which God has given them, and it blessed everybody. It's folks like Ashley Jefferson, who is on our curriculum team for kids. What you don't know probably is without her help, we would not have any curriculum on Sundays for our kids next door. And what's happening over there is kids are learning a biblical worldview and how to love God and have a relationship with him. And those of you who have kids, you're gonna pick them up and the days they walk out and quote verses to you or they have little things in their hand, that's because Ashley, when nobody saw it, she was given Mina, she was given time, she was giving gifts that I do not have, like cutting straight and coloring in the lines, and used that for the gospel and it's discipling the next generation. And she has stewarded it well. It's guys like Pete Vitt, who's a buddy of mine, who for a long time during COVID, for good reasons, couldn't be around large groups. But he said, you know what? I can come and be a part of the setup team and be a little more spread out. And I can set up so the church can come and be served. And I'll go home and won't even have the ability to stream what is being taught. But I'll come set up for the church so that way others can come and hear the gospel and be encouraged and be drawn in and help facilitate the church and serve the church. He stewarded it well. It's gals like Casey Hawkins, who serves on our Kaleidoscope team, which is our ministry to kids who just have unique and special needs that present challenges that other kids don't have. Casey serves with Sweet Kai. If you know Kai, she's the best way to put a smile on your face any Sunday. But Casey not only shows up here to serve with Kai once a week, but she goes above that. I mean, that's all she needs to do to check the box of serving. But during the week, she goes the extra mile, taking curriculum that's going to be for the rest of the elementary kids and trying to package it in a way that sweet Kai can understand. I'm just like, Lord, help Casey remember me when we're on the other side. I'm just telling you, when each individual plays their part, there's not a small part. It all works together. It all builds up the body. And I think it is the reason God is doing what he's doing with us. Here's what the scripture I'll leave us with is Ephesians 3, 20 through 21, which says, now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than we can think or ask, according to the power at work within us, to him be the glory in the church, in Waterbark Frisco, in Centennial, in this new work, and in Christ Jesus throughout generations, forever and ever. And let me just tell you, God is doing this. This is who God is. You are part of the generations that God is blessing and using. And I don't know where else I would rather be, but right in the will of God, right in the season we're in. And so let's sing one more time and respond to the goodness of our King.